my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word, Lord. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk.
Weather, now we're here. Amen. What are we going to do at this time? Hallelujah. I want to give God some glory tonight. Amen. I didn't drive all this way just to play around. Amen. I'm serious about praising God. Amen. Let's sing that song, Won't It Be Wonderful There?
Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior we'll enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? There with the tempest never to go, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joy.
joyously singing, heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, We Fall Down, We Lay Our Crowns at the Feet of Jesus, key of F. I want to see you. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Yes, I want. Let's give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I bless your name. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas. We in the wrong key.
Silas prayed that night.
you sing with me now all together. And I bless your name. Yes, I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Amen, friends. That's how I want to be. You know, Paul and Silas there, bound in prisoners' chains, just reaching out to God in praise and worship, shook all of the earth to the point an earthquake broke that building apart. Amen. I mean, that's powerful when you think about it. You know, praise is powerful. Amen. That's what we're doing here. We're just trying to create an atmosphere to push back the spirits that try to crowd into your mind and steal away your joy. Amen. We want to be like a plow in the field. You know, we want to make that ground ready for the Word of God to be able to plant a seed in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to change the order of our song service tonight. Play something softly there. Musicians, I don't have many prayer requests up on the platform. I know we still have many folks out that are still sick. I want to continue to remember all of those that were mentioned last Sunday that were battling the flu virus that's been going around. I'm going to just hold those people up in prayer, man. I know my sister and her little ones, they were dealing with the flu there in her family. So please remember them in prayer as well. I have one up here, Sister Jennifer Cochran, his request of prayer. She needs a touch from the Lord in her back. She's dealing with some back issues, very special need there. Just remember her in prayer. Just remember the folks that are away tonight traveling. I think Brother Keith was out traveling, having to work tonight. So let's remember him in prayer. I know there's many others as well. We just want to pray that God would grant them traveling mercies on dangerous highways. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Ethan if he would come forward at this time and just pray over these needs. Anyone have a special unspoken need that you have on your heart? If y'all would remember me as well, I have a very important decision to make, job interview, and if y'all could pray for me that God would help me to make the right decision for my family. Amen. Come, Brother Ethan, if you would pray over these requests at this time. Sing that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Amen.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know
light of that. Hallelujah. Sister Julia has a special for us.
Sorry. I'm just trying to find the right key.
Brand new walk with Christ, and He is here, the
Sister Julia, for that beautiful special. Amen. Let's all stand. If our deacons would come forward at this time, we'll take up our evening offering. I'd like to sing that song, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. Brother Mike Richard, would you lead us in prayer? Just want to make Brother Diggs welcome tonight. If he would make his way this way as we sing this song. You are the other half of the gift, amen. So we just want to make sure that we pull and watch that gift go into operation, amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Tonight. Amen. We want to be the temple of the living God. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. It's a little nasty outside, but God is good. Amen. And Brother Barry sends his greetings to the church. Amen. I kind of talked with him a little bit before we got here, so he wants everybody to know he's all right. Everything is good. Just surprised that I'm here. Amen. Amen. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to be a pastor tonight. So let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll go right into the word of God. Lord Jesus, we come tonight in your precious name. And Lord, we know that in your name there is power, Lord. There is healing. Lord God, there's deliverance, Lord. And every attribute we can think of, Lord, is in the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, as we prepare ourselves, Father, to minister the word of God and to hear the word of God, Lord, we pray, Father, you just move upon us, Lord, in our spirits, Lord, that the spirit will be willing, Lord, though the flesh may be weak. And Lord God, we just thank you for all that you've done, Lord. And Lord, you've allowed an atmosphere of worship to be created. And now, Lord God, let us pull on the word of God as you've laid out before us, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless all the services throughout the ends of the earth that are going forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us practice the greatest gift given unto man. And that's moving out of the way that you can have the prayer ministry. And we'll give you all the honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The church, say amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And then we're going to go to Matthew 15. 1 Kings chapter 22. Let's start at verse 17. 1 Kings 21. First Kings 21, let's read verse 17. If you have it, say amen. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew Matthew 15 and let's read let's start at verse 6. Hold up, I'm in Mark. Okay, the Bible says in verse 6, let's start at verse 5. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and to his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Amen. By the help of the Lord tonight, I got a strange topic, but we're just trusting in God. Amen. My subject tonight is God being politically incorrect. Amen. God being politically incorrect. And you know, I don't want to talk a whole lot about politics, but just watching how things are unfolding and what's taking place, that, you know, we have all these different sides of politics and nobody can agree. Because everybody's stuck in their own ways. You know, the Democrats figure that the Republicans should really be Democrats. And the Republicans feel like the Democrats should really be Republicans. And the conservatives and all this stuff and on and on. But the reason why they can't agree, because it's all about strategy. It's all about strategy and the mind being made up not to want to change. And that's what it's all about. You know, and each party, they believe that they're right. And if they do things their way, the country will be right. Amen. And you know, as children of God and spirit being saints, that we have to have a mindset to be led by God. And whatever God's will is, we have to be able to change or be able to be conformed to whatever the potter's hands want to do with the clay. You know, but one thing I want to say to us tonight, God does things in a mysterious way. You know, and when God does things, it don't always look right. But he's God, so who's going to tell him what to do? Amen. Who's going to tell God that Noah shouldn't build an ark because it's going to rain? Now that scene, that very action that Noah was doing, it seemed like it was totally politically incorrect. But it was exactly what God wanted or what Noah needed for that time span. So Noah, no matter what his life was before that time, he had to adapt to whatever God's will was. And church, that's what we have to be. We have to be able to adapt to the will of God. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and everything else will fall in line. But you know, when I think about God and his peculiar ways, you know, another word came up, you know, when I think about politics is it has a very simple definition. It's a method of maneuvers. That's what politics is, a method of maneuvers. But, you know, that brought me to another word I was thinking of, and this word is unorthodox. Our God is very unorthodox. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about unorthodox, you know, the Bible says, well, not necessarily the Bible, but, you know, different traditions, they have a certain group called the Orthodox Jews. That means that what's been taught from generation to generation to generation, they have become traditions they don't waver from. No matter what they see, no matter what somebody else bring forward, they are Orthodox Jews. That means they're not willing to change. Hallelujah. But God is unorthodox. Hallelujah. Glory. See, God is not conforming to rules. God don't care about our church rules. God don't care about the families we come out of. All God cares about is you fulfilling what he had for you before the foundation of the world. You know, so when we think of God being unorthodox, God cares nothing about our own traditions. Amen. Some people want a green Christmas tree. Some people want a white one. God don't care. He's very unorthodox when it comes to traditions and all these things and modes and conduct and all these things and as of doctrine and religion and philosophy. God is very unorthodox. You know, God heard the cry of his people coming out of Egypt, and he could have easily came down as God and just set the people free. But God took them through a process. You know, and you would ask the question, God, why are you doing this? He always has a purpose. He always has a purpose. So we ought not to get discouraged when it looks like God is taking the long way around. And you know, when I think about that, you know, God could have easily came down, delivered the people, and they could have went in the wilderness and worshiped. But there were attributes of God that had to be expressed during that deliverance. And you know, and in our lives, there are attributes of God that has to be expressed. That's why he doesn't take the easy way all the time. You know, but, you know, if we were just look at the Bible and we think about time and how God has done things, it seems very politically incorrect. God took a man, like I said, and he took him in against all odds, said it's going to rain, made that man build a boat for 120 years. Now, to everybody else, that man seemed like he was crazy. But it was exactly what God wanted for that time. Now, the question is, although it looked crazy and it looked very unorthodox, was it right? Amen. It was right. And you know, and as time goes on, God did a lot of things through the prophets and the saints of old that seemed very politically incorrect, but it was right on time. You know, and when I begin to think about the story right here with Ahab and his wife, they took the vineyards of Naboth. And you know, and God comes down through Elijah the Tishbite, and he pronounces a judgment on Ahab. And you know, one thing about God, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. It may take a little time. It may even look like it's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. God told, again, let's backtrack a little bit. God told the children of Israel, I'm going to take y'all to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. He didn't tell them he was going to let them be in the wilderness for 40 years. So his plan, it seems very unorthodox and very politically incorrect, but it'll do, hallelujah, what God says it's going to do. You know, there were giants in the land, hallelujah. They had to fight Amalekites and Hittites and Jebusites and all the websites. They had to fight every kind of site you can think of. And you know, I believe that there were points in their lives when they got discouraged. You know, and there are points in our lives when we get discouraged. But one thing I want you to understand, God never gets discouraged. Hallelujah. Because he knows your beginning from your end. Hallelujah. And some things that he does, remember that movie, The Ten Commandments? And when they were going out of Egypt, and then Pharaoh was chasing them, and he got to the place where they were at the Red Sea, and this Pharaoh, he says, Moses, it seems like your God is a very poor general. Seemed like he was politically incorrect. But God led. God let the enemy follow him, hallelujah, right up to the sea, knowing he was going to destroy the enemy, hallelujah. So what seemed to the enemy, hallelujah, as a mistake, it was right what God needed to do for that time, hallelujah. And when we look at our lives, sometimes things, it looks like a mistake, but it's right where God wants us. What we have to do, we have to ask God, Lord, let me see what you see. Hallelujah. And you know, as I begin to think about Elijah, you know, he was very unorthodox. You know, they say he lived in the wilderness and nobody knew who he was. And then all of a sudden, he comes on the scene saying, thus saith the Lord. But did every thus saith the Lord come to pass? Everything that this man spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost came to pass. Now, let's get into, as we look at God and we see how strange God is. Oh my, y'all bear with me now. You know, Ahab and his wife, they take the vineyards of an innocent man. And not only do they take it, but they kill him. And then God is very displeased by that. Now, one thing I want you to realize, Ahab knew who God was. Ahab wasn't just some wicked man. What messed Ahab up was his wife. His Jezebel was just a wicked woman. Ahab knew by God. And it got to the place where Ahab knew God was going to kill him. Ahab went and fasted and prayed. And then God said, because you've humbled yourself, I'm going to have mercy on you. And I ain't going to bring all the judgment in your day, but I'm going to bring it in your son's day. But you're still going to pay. Hallelujah. And church, they took the vineyard, they killed the man, and God was very displeased. So God comes down in the 21st chapter, and he tells Ahab, in the same place where Nabal's blood, hallelujah, was poured out, so will your blood be poured out. The dogs will lick your very blood. God pronounced this evil on Ahab. And then time goes on. Ahab looks like he's prospering. Looks like everything is all right. And sometimes God will just look like he takes his hands off of it. But let it unfold, church. Let your life unfold. Don't get stuck in the moment. The moment may be like traffic on 77 coming to church. Traffic on 85 in the middle of rush hour. It may be all congested. You don't know which way to go, but just keep going forward. Sometimes that's all you need to do is keep going forward. You might not can't even see what's causing the slow up, but just keep going forward. Hallelujah. And by the way, don't cut in front of them tractor trailers. But church, in those times where it looks like there is no structure, you know, that you just come into church and you feel like you're not really getting something, then you need to stand the course. Hallelujah. Because that's just the devil lying to you. Amen. We come with a purpose. Amen. God, see, it's not us coming here on our own strength. It's God, hallelujah, pulling us here. Hallelujah. Because none of us, hallelujah, could keep God's word on our own. It's all about him doing it. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Church, so as I look in the story, God said, the same place. Well, you do that to Nabal, the dog's going to lick your blood. Now, God pronounced this evil. Now, here comes Ahab. He meets up in the next chapter with Jehoshaphat, or in the previous chapters, he meets up, and he says, hey, Ramoth Gilead is ours. Will you go up with me? And Jehoshaphat said, of course. Your land is my land, you know, this and that. They made a pact. Now, we know Jehoshaphat was a man of God. Amen. Jehoshaphat was a king being led by God. Amen. But now, hallelujah, this wicked man, Ahab, has created an alliance with God's people. So you're wondering, what is the Lord doing? Now, this is where I say God is so unorthodox. God says, hey, let's go to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. And we can see in the previous chapter, in 21, God said, hey, you got to die because of what you've done. Now, we're talking about God being, his ways being unorthodox. His ways being strange. But God is fully in control. If I can get this button loose, I'll be all right. All right, there we go. Strange. Let's go to 1 Kings 22. Now, we know God is a holy God. Amen. God is a righteous God. And he wants nothing to do with sin. Somebody talk to me now. The Bible talks about God being so holy that the holy angels, hallelujah, have to be a certain way in his presence. Hallelujah. And you know, when you think about our God, his might and all these things, it seems like he will want nothing to do with anything that looks politically incorrect. Looks like God will say, you know, I don't want people to think a certain way about me, so I'm going to make sure I do this right so they won't have no bad thoughts. Woo. Amen. God don't care about stuff like that. See, one thing I realize about God, he loves to challenge our thinking. Hallelujah. When you think you got it all wrapped up, God allows something to happen, and you be like, Lord, am I a Christian? 1 Kings 22:21. Let's back up a little bit. Let's go to I don't want 21. That's a little too quick. I want you to get the context of what I'm talking about. Let's start at verse 19. Now, this is where, in this chapter, where Ahab went to Micaiah to see what the Lord would say about him and so forth, you know. And as it go on down, let's start at verse 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven, standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he might go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. Now everybody come to God and say, God, send me, I'll do it. Now what's the purpose of God asking this? God has already sent forth a prophecy that he's going to kill Ahab. And now he's saying, I need somebody to go, hallelujah, so that this prophecy can be fulfilled. Are you with me? Verse 21. Now, the Bible says, and one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. Verse 21. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Now, this spirit has come forth before the Lord. Are you with me? And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. Wow. God used a lying spirit. Our holy, righteous, sanctified God agreed with a lying spirit to go forth to fulfill his prophecy. That's not politically correct. God can use a liar. Oh my. It looks like he can right here in the Bible. He says, and he said, thou shalt persuade him. My, he let the lying spirit persuade Ahab and prevail also. Go forth. Now therefore, verse 23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord have put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. My. So all the prophets standing up there to Ahab saying, go up, the land is ours. They wasn't speaking of their own. God was in their mouth. My. Now that wasn't politically correct. But God used a lying spirit to get his prophecy to come to pass. He said, brother, why are you going down this route? Because I want us to understand that the way we think, God don't think that way. And whatever God has to do to get his word to come to pass, he'll do it. Amen. You remember in the Bible, Balaam wouldn't even hear God. What did God do? God did something very unorthodox. God began to speak through a donkey. What did he speak? The word of the Lord. Oh, he's very unorthodox. See, he doesn't care about our traditions. All he cares about is the fulfillment of our word. And you know, as I look at the Bible and we see different things that God did, you know, God, now we go in Proverbs, one, there were seven things God hates. And in Proverbs, one of those things God hates is what? A lying tongue. But right here, God used a lying tongue. Now, don't bring an uncertain sound. I'm not trying to say that it's okay to commit sin or do sin or all these things, but what I'm trying to say to you tonight is God may do things in a mysterious way in your life. And you might not even believe that it's God. Sit still. Sit still and let it all unfold. And you know, as we look at the story, you know, Ahab, they said, go up, and then they went up. But what they did before then, Ahab and Jehoshaphat changed clothes. And when they changed clothes, that was exactly what they needed, because then they went after the king to kill the king. Hallelujah. They said, spare the king, we're going to kill this, we're going to kill that. And all of that was God's plan. So did Ahab die? Yes, he did. Just like God said, and God did it in an unorthodox way. A very politically incorrect way, but he still got his word to pass. Hallelujah. And when we look in the scripture, we can see all throughout the Bible, God did things that would challenge the way the religious people received him. Hey, they cried for a savior, so God did what? He allowed himself to be born in a stinking manger. Whew. Now, you know, they probably was thinking, you know, God is God. He need to come down on a cloud. You know, he needs to have fire coming out of his hands and I am the Lord. But he didn't do it that way. He was born as a little baby. But before we get there, think about how politically incorrect this was. First of all, he was born of a woman who wasn't even married. And everybody was talking about that. She ain't married. You know, she ain't married. He can't be God. He can't be a son. He's illegitimate. See, everything was done politically incorrect because God could only use those, hallelujah, that could believe from his mindset, not from their mindset. Hallelujah. And God said, he's a man that confounds the wise. And he hides himself from the wise and the prudent. Hallelujah. So never get in a place where you think you know what God's going to do. Because we don't know. We have to just keep stepping forward. Keep serving the Lord. Keep pressing on. It may look a little drizzy outside. Keep serving the Lord. Keep pressing on. It may look very unorthodox. It may look politically incorrect. But God is in control. And now he said, you have a baby. Hallelujah. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Now I want you to understand that this baby wasn't born like Adam, a full-grown man. But listen to the church, very politically incorrect. God was born, hallelujah, in a stable as a baby. God had to be breastfed. Nobody else can say that about their God. Woo! Glory! Our God, hallelujah. You want to talk about politically incorrect? Our God, the Lord of the universe. Oh, I feel my helper coming on now. Our God, the maker of heaven and earth, the God of the universe, had to learn how to walk. Our God, the God of glory, the Elohim. When he got hungry, he had to cry for it. Our God, hallelujah, fell down sometimes, but he had to get back up. Our God had to be cleaned when his diaper had to be changed. So politically incorrect. But was he God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was it our God? Hallelujah. Born in that manger? Hallelujah. Was it the same Jesus that stood on the foot of the boat, hallelujah, and said, peace be still? That same God, hallelujah, came in such an unorthodox way, hallelujah, to challenge the way the religious people would receive him. And because he came so humble, they couldn't receive it. And because he didn't come the way they thought in their political minds, but not political minds, in their religious minds, hallelujah. Because, you know, religion, hallelujah. The prophet of God said the worst kind of devil is a religious devil. If you got a person who think they know everything according to the scriptures, they'll miss Jesus when he don't come their way. They miss Jesus. Why? Because he used the prophet in a way that was very unorthodox. Man coming out of the woods, eating honey and worms and all kind of stuff. And he's coming out and saying, repent, repent. But then there was a time in his ministry when he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And because they couldn't receive John, because he was politically incorrect, they couldn't receive Christ. Whew. So don't get stuck on what you see. Don't get stuck on what you hear. Amen. Let God unfold the whole movie. Hallelujah. But, you know, when I look at that and I think of how God did things and, you know, and as he was being born, everything about his life testified of who he was. You know, they said, we don't stone you or want to crucify you for the miracles you've done. We want to kill you because you being a man saying you God. See, to them, that was never heard of. A natural born man. And he was a natural born man. Hallelujah. No doubt Mary probably carried Jesus. How many months you think it was, sister? Huh? What's the normal rate of carrying a child? You know, he don't change. So if he started something, that means it has to continue on to our day. So the average time to carry a child is what? 9 months. So no doubt, Jesus was probably in the belly of Mary for how long? 9 months. But in such an unorthodox way, to show that, confirm to Mary that he is all powerful. Hallelujah. Mary meets up with her cousin Elizabeth. And she says, hey, guess what? I'm going to be with child also. And you know what? His name is Jesus. And John started having a praise dance inside the belly. All before then, hallelujah, the baby did not even move. John didn't move. Mary didn't even know. Elizabeth didn't even know if the baby was still alive. But once the name of Jesus was spoken, hallelujah, John began to shout in the belly, hallelujah. Worship began to take place in the womb, hallelujah. And let me say this to you, church, hallelujah. Your worship doesn't start when Jaron get here, sit behind here, and he start to sing. No, your worship ought to start in your womb. Hallelujah. It ought to start in your womb, not when everybody else can see it. Amen. You get in the atmosphere. And by the time you get to church, you're ready. Hallelujah. And you know, to everybody else, that seems very politically incorrect. But that's what I love about God. Normally when things look crazy, it's just setting us up for a miracle. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, don't get nervous. I ain't going to be too long. Because I see some of y'all got that Wednesday night fever. Hallelujah. You know, when I begin to think about how God does things and sometimes it seems like it's crazy. But that's God. You know, and the prophet God says, he doesn't do miracles just to do them. He do miracles because there's a purpose. Hallelujah. He got a reason for doing miracles. Hallelujah. And it may seem unorthodox. It may seem politically incorrect. But who gonna tell God not to do it? That's just like you and I. Amen. Some of us were in the world. Maybe not none of you young folks, but some of your mamas and some of your daddies. Amen. They wasn't always that good, nice Christian person you see. Sometimes daddy got mad, and everybody knew he got mad. And sometimes mama got mad, and everybody knew she got mad. But then the Holy Ghost came, and it started to calm that stuff down. Amen. God could take a person, hallelujah, that's very wow, and make their lives a mystery. Hallelujah. No doubt when people that know you guys, when you were in the world, they see you now, they be like, wow. Different about you. Man, what is it? It's the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Coming to you, coming to me, coming to us in a very, hallelujah, unorthodox way. That's what I love about God. He says to them, they say, hey, Jesus, yo, your friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, okay. Keep on going. And you think you love somebody and you know, they've been good friends with you, then stay with them. You know, we got a loved one, they say they're sick, we're going to try to do everything we can do to get to the hospital. Jesus said, everything all right, I'll be there. And then he got to one point where he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. What was he trying to do? He was trying to change their thinking. But what was he doing? He was setting them up for a miracle. Although they were looking at the situation with their own eyes, and they felt like they were very in need in that moment, God said, don't worry. I got everything under control. Now, can we say that about our lives right now? That God has everything under control, no matter how it looks. That's the real challenge. Hallelujah. Because all Satan wants us to do is curse God. That's what the whole battle with Job was about. Hallelujah. What happened to Job was very politically incorrect. Because he was a righteous man. Who knew no sin, didn't do no sin, then all of a sudden his life was turned upside down. But who did it? God allowed it. God told the devil, hey, you want to try somebody? Go try Job. The devil didn't just come and say, hey, let me have Job. God told him, say, you want, hey, go try him. Have you considered my servant Job? God gave him instructions on where to go. And he's still the same God. And let me encourage your heart tonight, church. If you go through anything, whether good or bad, God has to allow it. Hallelujah. Listen, he says, because of your traditions, you have made the word of God of none effect. You know, that's been done throughout time. You know, when I think about the children of Israel and how God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, they get to a place where they get in the land. They get in the land. They see the fruits and all the stuff, but they also see giants. So, church, the battle in their minds with the giants was greater than what they actually had. They actually had the promise in their hands. But they're so busy thinking about the battle with the giants when God had already told them, I've given you the land. And think about it, church. God proved over and over again in such an unorthodox way. Not just regular grapes did he give them, but these grapes were so heavy, it took two people to carry them. You know what kind of, these grapes didn't come from Walmart. These were giant grapes. Go ahead. God loves us so much. When he gives to us, he gives in abundance. Hallelujah. Now, you couldn't tell me that they thought they were going to that land and it's just going to be regular. God don't do nothing regular. It's all supernatural. Hallelujah. And church, if we make it, hallelujah, to the other, let me say, when we make it to the other side, it's going to be because of our supernatural God. Hallelujah. And they're going to be worried about us. You know, we serving the Lord like they told Jesus, we don't crucify you because you do wonders and signs. No, you be a man saying you God. But they missed it. They were looking at it wrong. He wasn't a man being God. He was God being a man. Now, I'm going to say something very unorthodox. I'm going to say something it's going to seem like it's politically incorrect. But if Jesus was God first, being a man, what does that make us? Hallelujah. Challenge your thinking. And what is this word trying to do? Think about it, church. What is our whole Christian journey about? God is trying to get us, hallelujah, to conform or convert over to his thinking. And if we, hallelujah, convert over to God's thinking, what are we thinking like? A God. Hallelujah. That's what the Christian journey is all about. That's what this message is all about. God is trying to show us his thoughts. But not only just show us, he wants us to fulfill it. Now you picture this. You, a human being, fulfilling the thoughts of a God. Can't happen. Can't happen. A cat can't fulfill the thoughts of an eagle. Hallelujah. He can look at that eagle and he can say, you know what? I'm going to climb up this tree and I'm going to fly. He'll fly till he hit the ground. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's not his makeup. Although he may think it and he may want it, but if that's not his makeup, he can't produce it. Church, think about it. God has allowed us to look into his mind. Why? Because we can fulfill it. Hallelujah. So we have to look at ourselves as more than just Christians, hallelujah, more than just men and women of God. No, we're God's being men and women. Hallelujah. Then he comes to the Bible, he tells Moses is complaining. Hallelujah. Moses said, I can't talk right. The people ain't going to receive me. Who should I say you are? All these things. God said, Moses, shut up. I'm sick of you belittling yourself. I know what I created you to be. And then God stops running to the chase. And he says, you know what? You're more than a deliverer. He said, you know what? I want you to be God. Woo. And let Aaron be your prophet. Oh my. God gave him a step up. And church, when we begin to think like God, it's always a step up. Hallelujah. See, if all we got is just God sent the prophet, all we got is letter. But we have to get to a place where we can produce what this prophet preached. Hallelujah. And God, in his unorthodox ways, he used a man that couldn't mess it up. He was a man that didn't have much education. He had a man that wouldn't rely on himself. Why? Because he knew if he did that, it wouldn't get messed up. He's doing the same thing with us. Let me read you something. Hallelujah. I ain't going to be too much longer. You know, what messed the Sadducees and Pharisees up when Jesus came? They were stuck in their law. They were stuck in the way that they did it at church. And you know, we all got tradition. Y'all got tradition right here. Right here in this church, you got tradition. And I done said it before. Some of you come to church every Wednesday, y'all have Wednesday, Sunday. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, and y'all stuck in your traditions.
Nah, but I ain't stuck in no tradition. I'm a child of God.
You stuck in your tradition. You might want to fight me on that, but I'll prove it to you. What day is Wednesday? How many of you sitting where you sat last Wednesday? That's just tradition. Ain't no power in that seat. And to show that is tradition, you come in and somebody else sitting in your seat. It'll affect your whole attitude. You might sit on that side of the room, but you're looking at them in your seat. And then, if you don't shake it, you'll miss the whole service thinking about your seat. And the enemy will keep going in your mind. That's what tradition does. It'll keep going in your mind. It'll build something that's not true. And you can see that person sitting in your seat and be like, why she set my seat? Now she know I sit there. Me and my husband and my children, we sit in that seat, in them seats. Them our seats. And we say we not a denomination. Y'all with me? It's just tradition. We sit because we're creatures of habit. We do the same thing all the time. And we don't even realize that it's just tradition. Now you imagine if you come to church, would you be able to break that mold in your life? If you come in church and God tells you, I want you to sit all the way up front. Can you say, yes, Lord? And you go up front and you say, God, you sure that's you? Was that your voice? Me up front? That's very unorthodox. It's just tradition. Ain't no power there. But if you're not careful, there is a power there. Amen. A power of no expectation. Because some people don't realize when they come to church, because they're so used to doing the same thing all the time, that they sit down in the seat and they sit in the devil's lap. Woo. I told y'all I wasn't going to be a pastor tonight. But you know, you sit in your seat, and because you have no expectation, because of your traditions, you sit right down, and the devil said, come on, sit on my lap. Sit on my lap like we always do. And then you sit down because there's no expectation, then all of a sudden, what always happens starts to take place. Amen, brother, amen. Just tradition. And the reason why the Sadducees and Pharisees couldn't see Jesus because of their traditions. Because he came in a way that was totally against what their minds perceived in him coming. They couldn't see a God fellowshipping with the sinners and the publicans and all that stuff. But he came to save those who were lost. Hallelujah. So he identified, hallelujah, with those who needed the saving grace of God. Amen. And the law could not save them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I say no power in that seat. There's no law of power in that seat. It's just a habit. And I do it too sometimes when I at my home church. And then people know. People know when they're in your seat. Because I walk in church one time and my cousin was sitting in my seat. And I walk up, I'm like, what you doing? She like, I'm serving the Lord. I'm like, all these other chairs in here, you can't serve the Lord? Why you got to be in my chair? And then she got her cheering and all that stuff. And I'm like, this whole aisle mine. You and your family takes, y'all go on the other side of the church some way. This aisle mine. Y'all know that's how we feel. And that's what happens sometimes. You know, but it's just tradition. You know, we have to break the molds of our human thinking. And you think about it, today is Wednesday, which seems like an ordinary service. But the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he says, there will I also be in the midst. So we have to believe, whether it's a Wednesday, a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, that if you as a believer and somebody else as a believer gather, God is here. Amen. And that has nothing to do with us shouting and dancing. No, it has to do with his word. You know, but I want to challenge a rumor that I heard. Y'all know there's all kinds of rumors going around. There's a rumor going around in this message. And I'm sure some of you might have heard it. Some of you may be shocked. But I'm just the kind of person, I don't like to be around the bush. So I'm going to just tell you the rumor. You know, you take it like you want. But there's a rumor going around the message that only black people shout. There's a rumor that only black people get happy in church. There's a rumor that only black people worship and dance in the spirit. Is that a rumor or is that true? It's up to you to prove that wrong. Because you let rumors go too long, some people start to believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. The refreshing of God has no color limit. Amen. It has no certain church building or certain pastor. Amen. It's whatever God is doing in a believer's life. Amen. And sometimes it may seem very unorthodox to see a white sister brother go, woo! But who cares how it looks? If God is doing it, we just got to accept it. And a matter of fact, I love it. Because then I don't feel like such an oddball. Hallelujah. Everybody with me? I'm coming down, amen. But I want to hit on the law for a little bit. You know, to some people, the message, you know, they use it for a law. Brother Branham said this, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do that. That's not the reason why God sent us a prophet. He sent us a prophet, again, to reveal the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. It's not a cloak to beat people across the head with. When we see certain things happen in their life, we come with quotes to bam them in the ground. The prophet said in 56, you. That's not what it's for. Amen. God sent a prophet to express how he wanted to get back close to the people. That's what the prophet's relationship with the people is all about. That we can hear straight from God. Hallelujah. He was that go-between. Amen. But you know, it happened in such an unorthodox way. In such a politically incorrect way. Hallelujah. And it looks like, you know, I don't know if y'all thought about this, or if y'all are aware of this, but if you go to Jeffersonville, and you just walk the streets and you ask some of the people, have you ever heard of William Branham? They'd be like, who? William who? Never heard of him. Never heard of him. All the mighty works God had did in that city, the reputation of a prophet is not even there anymore. Hallelujah. But think how blessed you are. Hallelujah. You know, and you weren't even there. Hallelujah. Me personally, I've been there, but I've never been in the tabernacle and all these things. But God has revealed to me everything, hallelujah, that the people in that tabernacle saw. Glory. Glory. What a mighty God we serve. So, church, we are to be grateful, hallelujah, by what we have. We're not here subject to the law of message people beating us across the head with the word. We're in this because of the grace of God. And everybody can find a quote to tell you when you're wrong. But can they find one to tell you when you're right? You know, like I hear people say all the time, they say, preachers always telling us what the Holy Ghost ain't. When they going to tell us what the Holy Ghost is? Amen. The Holy Spirit is the person of Christ revealed to you in your day. Hallelujah. That's the evidence of your Holy Spirit. When you can live the word revealed for your day without any law put to it. Where people say you got to and they made you and they this and they that. No, you do it because you love God. Listen, I'm coming down to a close. Listen, he says, there's no flesh saved by the law. The law is a condemner, hallelujah, of the people. No one could be saved who keepeth the law. No works that can do, no works that you can do to be saved. You might do one thing, join church, baptize forward, backwards, whatever you would. That does have anything to do with it. You are not saved by your works. It's by grace, hallelujah, are you saved. That's a gift of God. No one man come to me except my Father draws him first. Church, and when you think about grace, grace is so humble, hallelujah, because we don't deserve it. It's so humble. It's so meek and low, hallelujah, where all you can do is just say, Lord, it ain't nothing I did. There's nothing any of us can do to save ourselves. We accept Christ through faith by grace. Hallelujah. And that's how we are saved. No matter, you think about all the people that know God sent the prophet, but they can't live this word. What makes you any different? The grace of God. Hallelujah. Listen, he says, the same thing that Hebrew bride did, that's right. See, they listened to their substitute, and God promised them the real. And when the real come, they didn't want it, it was too humble. They prayed for a Savior, they prayed for a Lord, and then Jesus came, but they didn't want it because he came too humble. He's still doing the same thing today, church. Hallelujah. And like I said in my closing, that God does things that it may seem so politically incorrect. God takes a woman that was had a real bad reputation. He meets her at a well. First of all, he says he must need go by Samaria. He purposed, hallelujah, to go by that way. Knowing that there was going to be a lady there who was considered an outcast. And then Jesus, hallelujah, sends his disciples another way. Why? Because he knew they wouldn't have been able to receive him talking to her. Because they would have been thinking about his reputation. Say, God, you Lord, you can't be seen with us. But Jesus goes, he meets up, and first thing he does, he says, woman, give me a drink. And now she's thinking, hallelujah, she's trying to be politically correct. And she said, the Jews and Gentiles, we shouldn't have no fellowship. We should have no fellowship. And God is trying to get to that seed inside. How does he do it? He has to change her way she's thinking. And he does that by conversation. And you notice with this conversation, to everybody else, she looked like she was a prostitute. But the more you ever notice, the more Jesus talked to her, the more revelation she shared. She said, man, you sound like a prophet. What a prostitute know about a prophet? See, so her life seemed like it was politically incorrect, but she was right where God wanted her to be. And now you look at God, hallelujah, in his unorthodox way. Now he's going to spread the word. And he's going to use a woman to do it. Because after he talks to her, she gets so stirred up. What does she do? She runs down in the city proclaiming, come see a man. I thought he didn't like woman preachers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, things that look like it shouldn't be, God will use those things just to confound the wise. So sometimes we have to sit still and just let God unfold the matter. God takes a woman, hallelujah, who's been in prostitution all of her teenage years, and he sends the word to her house. He says, hey, I got spies, we got this, we come to take the land, blah, blah, blah. And this woman, hallelujah, everybody else looked like, to her, looked like she was just a prostitute. I'm talking about Rahab now. That she was just a prostitute. But then, listen to Rahab's language. Rahab said, okay, enough of this. I need me a token. Whew. See, to everybody else, she may have looked like this. But to God, see, God knew, church, God, in his unorthodox ways, in him being so politically incorrect. You know, and I've said this before, but I want you to think about this. Why did a 3 days journey turn into 40 years? You say, because they were cutting up. They were complaining, they were murmuring, they were doing all kind of stuff. So God said, you know what? Your carcass is going to die. It was a bigger picture than that. You say, what was it? It was a bigger picture than that. A 3 to 5 days journey turned into 40 years. Why 40 years? Because if they would have got to where Rahab was, hallelujah, in 3 to 5 days, Rahab wasn't born yet. So if Rahab wasn't born yet, how could Jesus Christ come through her seed? Hallelujah. So God had to hold everything up. Hallelujah. Y'all with me? Sometimes God will hold everything up till the right people get in place. Hallelujah. And you might say, Lord, we've been looking for the rapture to happen in 1977. He had to hold it up because I wasn't ready. Hallelujah. I was born yet, but I wasn't ready. Hallelujah. And some of you young people, you weren't born yet, so God had to hold it up. Amen. Some of you hadn't married who you're supposed to marry, have the children you're supposed to have, all these things. Some of my pastors now, some of my deacons, everything. God had prolonged this rapture so people that's supposed to be in certain places could be in those places. And you got people say, man, I thought the rapture was going to happen back in 84, 82. Couldn't happen. I wasn't ready yet. Amen. So, church, don't get discouraged. God is just putting things in place. But what I want you to concentrate on as I close, you think about, hallelujah. So most of us are ready to go, amen. But we still have prayers that haven't been answered. We got loved ones that we're praying for. And if they are, hallelujah, elect seed, and if God said all that you've loved and love you, hallelujah, they'll be in heaven with you, or however the quote goes, think about that, church. If we believe that, hallelujah, those people got to get in place. Hallelujah. And no matter how God does it, he's going to do it. So we got to be in expectation. Hallelujah. Be in expectation for the word to be fulfilled, but it may happen in a way that you're not expecting. Hallelujah. God. Musician, I want y'all prepared to come. God. In his sovereignty. God allows a harlot to marry a general. Rahab marries Salmon. Hallelujah. And then he takes her to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Bethlehem meaning house of God's bread. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All the things about her life typed out. Hallelujah. A bigger picture. Amen. Then, hallelujah, from that union of her and her husband, they have a son named Boaz who is a type of Christ, a kinsman redeemer. Then her son, hallelujah, Boaz, marries a Gentile bride who's a Moabite named Ruth. so unorthodox, not even politically correct. Why would this king, with all the virtuous women he could pick, why would he marry this Moabite? You can't tell love what to do. You might say, why me? Because he loves me. Hallelujah. Hey, why you? Because he loves you. Amen. Nobody can tell God who to deal with, who to put his seed in. And you look at it, church, they're in Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. Hallelujah. Then they have Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth. Hallelujah. And then from there, they have another son, Obed. Hallelujah. Obed, David. Hallelujah. David, Jesus Christ. But all that had to start from God prolonging a 3 to 5 days journey. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about the rumor on black people, but hey, hallelujah. But church, God is good. You know, I challenge you, look at your life different. It may be some things you're going through right now that's upsetting you. But ask yourself this question. Is God in control? Brother Branham said, hallelujah. If God is not doing it for a purpose, that means he's the author of frustration. And the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. Amen. So there must be a purpose. You might not see it right now. I was just in Philadelphia last weekend, and the pastor made a statement. And it was so powerful to me, I almost couldn't preach my message because I kept thinking about what he said. But he came up and made a statement. And he said, you know, we always want God to show us our life. Amen? We want God to show us the big picture. Lord, show me what's next. Show me, you know, how this whole thing is going to unfold. He said, we shouldn't ask God to show us the whole picture. We should ask God, show us our next step. Because God in his sovereignty, if he show you the whole thing, then how are you going to be an overcomer? And how are you going to develop perfect faith if he shows you the whole thing? So, when you pray, we ought to pray, Lord, show me your will for my next step. Hallelujah. I don't want to know everything, because if I know everything, I might not be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Because the prophet of God said, overcoming is not God doing everything for you. Hallelujah. But you have to do something. And it may seem very unorthodox. It may seem politically incorrect. And you know, with that statement, we are right where we're supposed to be. Amen. Right now, the United States of America is the most politically incorrect country ever. Because we have a politically incorrect president with a politically incorrect cabinet, with politically incorrect people in office. And what is it producing? Let me stop before I make somebody mad. Hallelujah. But we're not supposed to be on any team but Team Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's always funny to me, you know, if we just take a step back, and I'm going to close, we just take a step back, we say, well, you know, we take Brother Branham's message and we say that every man chosen was God's choice. Amen? Ronald Reagan, God's choice. Who came out of Reagan? Bush. Right? Bush. See, some of us are so disconnected, we don't even know who the presidents are. That's all right. That's a good thing. But, you know, you got Bush. Amen, God's man. You take Bush Jr. Amen, God's man. You take Barack Obama. Oh, he the devil. And now you take, what is 45th? You take 45th. Oh, the rapture finna happen. But let's understand. Everything that happens, God is in control. Hallelujah. No matter how we might perceive it, God is in control. Don't get caught up in your own human thinking. But what I do sometimes, I just take a step back. And like David said, he had to encourage himself. You take a step back, and you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, and you go through things, or things happen, and you say, Lord, I'm serving you with all my heart. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. You're just being perfected. And the only way you can be perfected is by trial and error. Hallelujah. So when things happen, don't worry about it. God is in control. Amen. Just don't come to church like an unbalanced washing machine. Because, you know, when the washing machine is new and the floor is right, that thing is just humming. Everything is good. You know, all the detergent, everything is going right where it's supposed to be. But, you know, it's not the quietness or the movement of the washing machine that's really cleaning the clothes. What's cleaning the clothes is the clothes rubbing against each other. Hallelujah. So you got a little dirt on some more dirt. Or if I can be a little graphic, a little funk on funk. And it's just all in a cycle. Everything moving together, moving together, moving together. And it's all good. You don't even realize that it's something being clean. But then when that washing machine, after years of being in that spot, maybe it gets unbalanced. And when you used to didn't hear nothing, you can be outside and the shutter starts shaking. Why? Because the machine is unbalanced. There's nothing wrong with the machine. It's the foundation. Hallelujah. So be careful in your journey that you don't get unbalanced. Hallelujah. Because you get unbalanced, then it's going to mess up the foundation. You're going to crack the flow of all the stuff. And then it's going to mess up the cycle and that pan and all that stuff. And then you got to buy a new one. I know the sisters know where I'm at. You brothers looking like, washing machine, what's that? But church, be encouraged tonight. Amen. Everything may not seem like it's running in continuity, but it is. God got everything, every jot, every tittle about our life, God is in control. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, if something said to help your people. Lord God, for we know, Lord, that your thoughts are not like our thoughts, and your ways are higher than our ways. And Lord, as you challenge us to take on the mind of Christ, Lord, help us not to get stuck in our message believing traditions. But Lord God, let us look for you to live through this message, Lord. And through the quotes and through the scriptures, Lord, let us see that life, Lord, that was identified in times of old to be manifested in this day, because you're still the same God. And Lord God, we pray that it was something said to help your people tonight. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The church, amen. God bless you, church.
Let's all stand. We appreciate Brother Diggs surrendering himself tonight, bringing that word for us. Amen. It felt like he was preaching straight to me. Amen. line of work I do, you know, it's kind of goes with the seasons of the weather, you know, and you know, I'm looking at this weather patterns that we've had lately. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, I need some work. You know, it's just kind of hard to work when the weather's mild and in my line of work, you know, but just got to be patient. You know, God works in strange and mysterious ways. I mean, like our brother said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Give My Mind. I give my mind completely to you, Lord. Feel free to do so. We just want to dismiss in a word of prayer this time. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in your house this evening, Lord. Thank you for the precious word that you give to us. Lord, through our brother Diggs, Father, I pray that you would bless our brother as he travels home. Lord, I pray that you'd be with him on dangerous highways and the folks in the church here, Lord, as they travel to their homes, that you'd be with us and our families. God, through the week, as we go about our daily lives, Father, I pray that you would help us to see how that you're working in mysterious ways in our lives, God. Help us to see the unorthodox way, as our brother said, Father, that you work. Lord, I pray that we'd be a light to those around us, Father, that you'd help us to shine and be salty to those that are thirsting for righteousness, God. Help us to point them to Calvary. Father, I pray that you just have your way tonight. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to go as you please. Amen. Let's sing that song, We Are More Than Conquerors.
We are more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.